This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
$41 billion for veterans. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. The Senate has passed a bill expanding health care benefits for veterans, especially those who were exposed to what are called burn pits on military bases. The House already passed the bill, so now it heads to President Biden's desk. Biden pushed for this bill, so he's expected to sign it. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer joins me now live with the details. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning.
So how will this legislation provide more aid for veterans?
Well, it requires the Veterans Affairs Department to assume that 23 respiratory diseases that veterans might have are related to exposure to those burn pits you mentioned, which the military uses to dispose of all kinds of waste. And that would make those veterans automatically eligible for care, and they could get more care. President Biden says exposure to toxic fumes from those pits caused some service members, including his son Beau, to get cancer and other illnesses.
Do we know yet how much this might increase healthcare costs for the government?
The Congressional Budget Office estimates that almost 900,000 veterans will enroll in the VA healthcare system over the next 4 years because of this bill. And the CBO puts the healthcare costs of the bill at more than $41 billion through the year 2031.
$41 billion, that seems like a pretty substantial increase. Why is it so high?
Well, the VA will need to staff up for all those new patients. The bill allocates money for recruitment and bonuses and boosts the maximum pay for the department. And it allows the VA leases for 31 new medical facilities.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Robinhood, the retail stock trading platform, is cutting 23% of its full-time staff. People have just not been trading on the platform as much. Monthly active users fell by a third from a year ago in the second quarter. Robinhood stock is up 0.2% in pre-market trading. With that, let's see how the rest of the market's doing. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up less than 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures also up in the 3-4% range, with the Dow future up 119 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.783%. Wildfires, like the ones currently burning in the West, disproportionately affect lower-income people. That is according to new research out of the University of Georgia. At the same time, insurance markets have become ever more concentrated and consolidated. The combination of those two things is leaving low-income residents in risk-prone areas with few options. Marketplace's Mariel Segura reports.
The study looked at data from almost 100 counties around the U.S. and found that the ones most prone to wildfires are also more likely to have high poverty rates. Matthew Auer is a dean at the University of Georgia and the study's author. He says it's harder for people who are low income to afford that risk, obviously to replace what they lose in a fire, but also to get insurance, because insurers are getting stricter about what you need to do to qualify for coverage. They might ask you to make some costly changes.
It could be roofing materials that are resistant to fire. It could be dual pane windows. It could be putting steel mesh over the vents in your attic and in your soffits of your home. And these kinds of changes can add up.
For someone who has a second or third home in a place susceptible to wildfires, maybe those expenses aren't such a big deal. Philip Levin at the University of Washington says those folks are choosing to own a home in a wildfire-prone area.
And they have means to adapt. That same thing isn't true for people who are constrained to live in those areas because of social, economic, or historical reasons.
Levin has done research on how wildfire risk overlaps with poverty, race, and ethnicity. Other research on this topic from UC Irvine found that older folks are more likely to live in places with a high risk of wildfires. That study's author, research scientist Shahir Masri, says what we're seeing here is how climate change and its effects, like worsening wildfires, are linked to inequality, whether we're talking about floods or air pollution or extreme heat waves.
I just wrote a piece on the impacts in Las Vegas. You've got a lot of your low-income communities that simply can't afford to blast their air conditioning, you know, 24 hours a day, or even repair an old air conditioner.
So people in those communities die because of money. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
For as long as students have had the ability to use the internet at school, schools have been monitoring what they do on the internet using software. That's become especially true during the pandemic when students were using software to study from home. Now a lot of students are back in the classroom, but a report out today from the Center for Democracy and Technology finds the use of tracking software is expanding yet again. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes has more.
89% of American public school teachers say their school uses software to keep track of students online, according to that new report. Elizabeth Laird is one of the authors.
Schools are under, you know, unbelievable pressure to keep students safe from harming themselves or harming others.
Parents and kids say they support monitoring if it's used, for example, to identify students who are suicidal. But the survey found it was more common to flag a student for things like cheating or cyberbullying. Laird says that's more likely to hurt kids who are Black, Hispanic, or low income and tend to rely on school-issued devices.
If you don't have an alternative and you can't opt out of this tracking, you know, you would be subjected to more discipline than your peers.
Companies have said their software isn't meant to be used in this way, but Amelia Vance, a consultant on child and student privacy issues, is concerned about potentially invasive data collection.
Then there are more records kept than there ever was in the past.
Vance points out federal policymakers are concerned about the monitoring, but are also considering requiring more of it. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.